O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder how you feel when someone says, "I want to have a word with you." I suppose it depends a lot on the tone of voice that the person uses, but still, it kind of gives you butterflies in your stomach, doesn't it? It makes you wonder why this person wants to talk to you. So you make time to meet the following day. And for 24 hours, you sweat it out, wondering what on earth he will have to say. Does he have good news or bad? Will he find fault with something I've done? Will he ask me a favor that's going to cost a lot? Maybe he wants to give me something. A gift, an invitation to dinner. If this is happening at work, maybe he wants to talk about a promotion. Or maybe he wants to tell me I better look for a new job. What do you do when somebody says, "I want to have a word with you," except wait until the appointed time to find out? 4 weeks ago, at the beginning of Advent, through the ancient scriptures we call the Old Testament, God said to the world, "I want to have a word with you." And for 4 weeks, we've been looking forward to this day, looking forward to Christmas presents, visiting relatives and friends, Christmas dinner, and everything else that goes with making Christmas Day such a festive occasion. And in the midst of all of that, God says to us, "I want to have a word with you." What on earth does God want to speak to us about? Well, the word that God wants to have with us is quite different than what the boss might mean when he says, "I want to have a word with you." The word that God has for you is not the kind of word that you find in a dictionary, not a word that can be translated from one language to another. It is a unique word, and God is offering it to you this day. What I'm referring to, of course, is Jesus Christ, Son of God from eternity. John, the gospel writer, calls Jesus the Word. The Word became a human being and lived here among us. From him, all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. This summarizes what Christmas is all about. It tells us that the Word, Jesus, has chosen to become human, to become one of us. Now, I know it's hard to grasp the immensity of that, but let's try just for a moment. Now, this may sound ridiculous, but perhaps it gives us an idea of what it means when we say God became human and made God's dwelling among us. Imagine one of the most powerful and prestigious persons in the world. Let's say Queen Elizabeth, the constitutional monarch of 16 sovereign states, head of the 54-member Commonwealth of Nations, the supreme governor of the Church of England, and in some of her realms, the defender of the faith. Imagine, if you can, that the queen, of her own free will, becomes a mouse. Now, I know it's kind of corny, but just go with me for a minute. She becomes a small, furry, insignificant, extremely helpless, and vulnerable mouse. She chooses to do that because she wants to live among other mice. She leaves Buckingham Palace and the prestige and honor that go with her office, and she becomes a mouse in order to help all other mice. For you see, there are mouse traps in kitchens all around the world. And the people who own these kitchens are determined to kill every last mouse. And one after another, the mice are killed. The queen shouts out at the mice until she's hoarse to warn them of danger. But that smelly cheese on those deadly mouse traps is just too inviting. And so the most powerful woman in the world happily becomes a mouse because she loves all mice and wants to do them something to save them. I know it's corny, But in a similar way, in a more radical way, the all-powerful and eternal God has chosen to plunge God's self into the arena of human life as you and I live it. And God chooses to take on the flesh and bones of our humanity. Or to put it another way, the creator of the universe, with its countless stars and planets, that creator is born in a stable in Bethlehem. But how did that happen? As John himself said, from the very beginning, the Word, that is the Son of God, was with God. Through him, God made all things. The Word, the Son of God, became a human being and lived among us, all because of love. This is a special time of the year when we celebrate the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem. And we enjoy each year hearing the story of Mary and Joseph, their trip to Bethlehem, the birth in a stable, the visit of the shepherds and the wise ones. We enjoy doing Christmas pageants and watching both adults and children present the nativity play. We delight in the very simple understanding of the events of Christmas. However, too often we don't go any further than the simple story. We miss out on the real significance of these events. Because Christmas is the celebration of God becoming one of us. A fact that we can never fully grasp, becoming one of us and living on this earth is just too much for us to imagine. Living with all the pain and suffering and human tragedies, the sin and dying that goes with being human, Jesus came into the thick of everything we experience. The point of this verse, the Word became a human being, is that in the midst of our agonies in this life, we are assured that we are not alone. We say it every week when we affirm our faith with the words of the new creed, but this is where that message came from. In Jesus, God is with us. God is with us when we're depressed and hurting and sick. In Jesus, God is with us when we are hit with bad news. In Jesus, God is with us when we feel guilty and ashamed. In Jesus, God is with us when we're worried about someone we love. In Jesus, God is with us when we are caught up in the chain of events that we are powerless to prevent. The good news of Christmas is that God hasn't kept God's self separate from all the troubles and pain, but has come right here into the middle of it. Truly, Emmanuel, God with us. The story about John Rosen is an excellent illustration of what it means for God to live among us. John Rosen was a doctor in a psychiatric hospital. Unlike some doctors who were aloof and separate from their patients, Rosen decided to move into the ward to live with his patients, something that they hadn't heard of and ever imagined, that somebody understood them. But then he did something else. He put his arms around them. He hugged them. This doctor with a string of letters behind his name, this highly skilled, highly paid physician who was like God to his patients, who had control over all of his patients, he held these people and loved them back into life. Often when patients who had been unable to speak said their first words were, "Thank you." In plain and simple language, isn't that what God is doing for us through Jesus at Christmas? Jesus has come and dwelt in our world. He's become part of our life, part of our confused priorities, our aching bodies, our torn and bleeding spirits, part of our heartbreak and loneliness. Christmas tells us that God is not aloof and separate from our world. God is in the world with us. God has come to hug us and hold us tight even though sin makes us unattractive and unlovable. Jesus was born to show us the heart of God, a heart that throbs with love for every last one of us. Jesus doesn't come with some vague, abstract descriptions of love. Jesus is love, and he came to bring peace to earth. He is truly God. He gives himself to us and for us freely, full of grace and truth, full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Jesus is the source of the inner peace so many of us are searching for. In this baby of Bethlehem, born to Mary and Joseph, we shall see as much of God as we shall ever hope to see in our earthly life. And as the wonderful Christmas carol assures us, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. In the 44 years since I've been a minister of the church, this is the first time that I've preached on Christmas Day, unless it happened to be a Sunday. God does have a special word for us on this day, and I consider it a blessing to be here today to tell you that the word is love. The word is joy. The word is hope. The word is peace. And perhaps more important, the word is grace and forgiveness. When we gathered at the Lord's table on the first Sunday in Advent, and again last night on Christmas Eve, we were reminded that Jesus gave his life for us, his suffering and dying for the sins of all people. And it is for this reason that we have Christmas and continue to celebrate it to this day. The angel made it quite clear to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So friends, I ask you, what difference will this Christmas celebration make in your life? Is it just another Christmas, here today and gone tomorrow? That is, except for the pain of the credit card. Well, I can't do much about your credit card, but I can tell you this. Jesus can make a huge difference in your life. Christmas invites you to trust Jesus. Christmas challenges you to take Christ seriously, not just today, but every day. Christmas reminds you that you have a heavenly parent who loves you so much that God will become one of us. In whatever way you need help, God is there all through the year. Yes, God does have a word for you today. God has become a human being because of you and for you. And the word is love. That, my friends, is the good news of Christmas. That is the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God.